You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassel Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassel Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas. They ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They call their beef the blue-collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu that every man or woman can afford. Hassel Cattle Company offers Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors, original and sweet and spicy, and their hamburger even won the Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Not only do we love their beef, the country loves their beef. Everybody wants to get in on this. These guys take their registered bulls and breed them with Angus cows, giving you that very high prime product that is grown with zero antibiotics or hormones. So head to HasselCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, and use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, plus any orders over $200 get you free shipping. Again, use code DNVR10. Check them out today, and we promise you will not be disappointed. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hafley, as we are going to be talking about the Avalanche defense today. We talked about forwards yesterday, getting into the conversation of the Avs D. Now, yesterday on the forwards, we talked about the Avs having less depth than they did last year, as far as high-end talent, certainly. This year on the defense, I don't know if that's true, assuming health, but health is going to be a big assumption for this defense, I think.
Well, I think it definitely... I mean, obviously, two of these six guys that we're going to get into right now, that's what the conversation starts with, health.
Yep.
But I think that where the Avs are totally fine is that they're big three here. Devontaeves, Kale McCarr, Sam Girard.
Yep. Those are locked in and you're very happy with.
Like, a lot of teams... a lot of teams really, really struggle to put together two pairings. Like, two quality pairings. Not like, oh, this guy's an NHL player and you have like a... I don't know. I can't think of like a depth guy that's totally inoffensive but bounces around. Like Dylan DeMello before he got good.
Alec Martinez now.
I mean, Alec Martinez is really good.
Before he re-broke out again.
I'm thinking more like John Moore types.
Yeah, that's better.
Like those guys, like the those guys on the back end that
Troy Stetcher.
There you go. A great example. Third pairing guy. You're totally fine with him. Hell yeah, sure. Go with him. Patrick Nemeth. Great. Like a third pairing guy, totally fine. Like you drop out there and you're like, okay, well, this is all right. But it's not like can't handle tougher assignments.
Yep.
Just can't handle it. Like
we'll locked into that role. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll kill you if they end up in having to be like a big, big, big time player for you. So a lot of teams have those guys, like those guys where you're just like, okay, well, he's all right. He can do some things. Like we're getting by with this guy, but it's an area where they don't love it. Where the Avs are, I mean, Devon Taves and Cale Makar both got Norris votes last year.
Yep.
You know, like these were guys that top of their profession. You know, right. most people, I think it's pretty widely accepted around the NHL that at worst, Cale Makar is the top five defenseman in the NHL.
Second in the Norris last year for the Red.
Right.
So the dude is a monster. Locked into your first pair. And we talked about this a little bit before, but do you just roll Taves next to him, put your best two together and say go?
To start the year, yes.
Okay.
But we also saw like Sam Girard's best NHL play of his career came next to Devon Taves.
Yep.
And I think that that's a really important thing to consider because you have an ace in the hole that most teams aren't going to have in a guy like Bowen Byram. Look, the Avs love that dude.
Yep.
And they wanted to play him last year. They brought him in from WJCs and were like,
go get him.
You're playing.
Yep.
He got a little bit of a rest because he'd been in that camp and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, Ryan talking about the annexation of Puerto Rico. The Avs wanted to get more out of Byram. The Kolesar hit and the subsequent injury. That's bad luck.
Yep.
But he was good to go at the end of the year. They were like, look, he's played 19 games in last.
Made their decision in the playoffs. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, and you can understand, like, because you remember he did not play. The WHL canceled their season.
Yep.
He didn't play any games in the bubble. He played in WJCs.
And then 19 NHL games.
And then 19 NHL games. And that's the only hockey he played in about 14, 15 months.
Yep.
And that was the driving factor in them not putting him in the lineup against Vegas. Well, we all disagreed. I think it's fair to say Rudo and I were not on that page.
Definitely not.
Saw where they were coming from, understood like the logic behind it, just disagreed with the decision.
Yep.
And given how it went and given, you know, Nemeth's misfit, it was easy to think that Byram would have at least
not given you a worse performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't go back and change time. You can only look forward. And I guess that is the big question. All right. I want to start this by in a world where we assume everyone is healthy on opening night. Is Byram on the bottom pair?
Well, I guess that goes back to where the conversation we're just having. If Taves is next to the Makar, then yeah, Byram's on the bottom.
You have Byram with your not with Girard, rather.
If you have Taves and Girard together, then maybe Byram is next to Makar.
Just run him with Makar and let the big sticks do the talking.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you have a third pairing made of glass.
EJ and Murray there. Yeah. Yeah.
And you got Ryan Murray and Eric Johnson next to each other, and you're just hoping for the best on every shift. Because if that's not the case, then Ryan Murray is where? EJ is where? Is it Girard and EJ and then Byram and Murray?
or that would be them?
That'd be fine. That would be a fine third pairing. Go and find me a third pairing outside of Tampa Bay that you like.
Yeah,
that you like more than Bo Byram and Ryan Murray.
I don't think you'd find one. Probably. It's
so.
And that's, we've had this conversation all offseason, especially since the Murray signing. The Avs are very likely a top 3D in the league as far as their top six.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the interesting thing, right? Like, we've seen some of EJ and Gerard before. That's a pairing that the Avalanche have. They know more or less what to expect out of that pairing. They know what they're going to get to a certain extent.
Yeah, they've at least had eyes on it.
Compared to, yes, they've seen 19 games of Byram, but that's not very much. And they've seen no games of Murray in their systems. So the question is, do they feel a little bit more comfortable putting Byram with EJ, who is also super veteran, been with the team forever, almost the team dad as far as the defense is concerned, right? He wears the A on the defense when he's healthy. He's kind of the leader of that unit.
Very much team dad.
Yeah.
I guess unit dad.
Yeah, sure.
He's 33, and the next oldest guy, Taves,
be 29, I think. But
yeah, Taves and Murray are both 27 right now. McDermott is 27 right now. McDonald is the oldest other guy at 28.
And then you have of the dudes that are starting, you have Makar and Gerard at 22, or is Gerard 23 now?
He's 23 now, and then Byram at 20.
Yeah. So, a good 10-year difference to EJ for Gerard, and more for Makar and Byram.
Yeah.
Little bit of a gap there, but again, like, that's the curious thing, because you can 100% see the Avs wanting to put Byram with EJ, and EJ kind of mentor him a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's your classic young guy, veteran guy.
Yeah.
And then on a third pairing, you're also, you know, that's not going to be a third pairing that plays like a third pairing.
Definitely.
It's not going to be sitting around playing 16 minutes.
And Murray and Byram, if that's a pairing.
Even that.
I think I would say, it is going the offensive direction. It doesn't really matter how you shake up the Avs D. They're going to have, again, if they're healthy, they're going to have an effective puck mover on every pairing.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's where their biggest changes from last year is that they lose the size with Graves, they lose the size with Nemeth, but they gain puck moving ability. But it's also, in no way would you consider Bo and Byram and Ryan Murray small.
Right. Byram's 6'1", still has to fill out a little bit, but
Murray is 6'1", 210.
Yeah, so he's thick.
And Byram was 6 foot, depending on where you look, he's 6 or 6'1".
Yeah, sure.
And right at about 200 pounds.
So it's not like those dudes are going to struggle with their size or anything.
Yeah. I mean, the only legitimately small guy on their defense is Sam Gerard.
Yep. Yep. The rest of them are just fine defensively.
Who's a legit tiny, like, he's like 5'9", 180 pounds. Like, that's a small dude.
Yeah. I actually had this conversation on Twitter like last week or so, where if you look at the average sizes of the Avs top 6D, it's basically the same as, I think, the Capitals Cup winning team and then the Penguins Cup winning teams a couple years before that. So it's not like their defensive size is significantly out of whack with extremely successful defenses of the past.
Yeah, it's not. It's genuinely not small. It's the only real problem, like, it's that Gerard didn't play well against Vegas. That's the problem.
Yep.
That people have is that Gerard didn't play well against Vegas.
And that's true. He didn't, but
yeah. And like, that's agreed upon by everybody that Sam Gerard didn't play well against Vegas. And okay, like, yep, it's true. That doesn't mean that he's not going to play well against whoever they play next year. Doesn't mean that he played poorly against St. Louis.
And the larger dudes in Nemeth and Graves didn't play particularly well against Vegas either. So I don't know what to tell you on that one. Right, exactly. There's not a lot of names that you can say that played well in that Vegas series on the Avs defense. We've talked about that before. The best the best defender in that series for the Avs might not be on the Avs anymore in Connor Timmins.
Yeah. I mean, Makar was better than that, but Makar you also have higher expectations for.
Sure.
And that was the problem with Makar, was that it was like he was dominant here and dominant there.
Because he absolutely called out in game one and then was just a guy kind of through the rest of the series.
Yeah, he wasn't as special as we've seen.
Yep. Definitely fair. And expectations do matter there when you're talking about a player played well, played poorly.
Devon Toews was pretty good in that series. I mean, he had his moments. There were some moments that weren't great, but overall, when you consider that he was playing against their top lines, like, he was pretty good.
Yeah. He really was. I don't have too many arguments with that, but the Avs defense is still bringing back Gerard, Toews, and Makar. So
yeah, the point is that they're going to be rolling with a really good defense to start with. And it's a defense that the big difference between last year and this year is that the depth is going to not be there. There's no Connor Timmins to buoy them to kind of provide, because like Connor Timmins, you know, he outplayed a third pairing role last year.
For sure.
Like, his on ice results relative to his teammates weren't incredible, but if you actually go and look at his underlying numbers, he drove play and he was a shot suppressor. It wasn't at an incredibly high level, but the team was good with him on the ice.
He played well enough that it was impossible to take him out of the lineup is essentially what happened at the end of the year.
So if you go and you look at the with and without on the ice, Colorado's offense with Timmins was better. Its defense was worse, but still elite level.
Yep.
And that's where they're really going to miss. They're going to miss a guy that's going to make $850,000 and outplay his role. That's what Connor Timmins did for them, is that he outplayed his role. And especially at the end of the year when he really started to click and come into his own. And I say they're going to miss that. That's assuming injury. That's assuming that at some point they miss an Eric Johnson, a Ryan Murray. Even Cale Makar has missed games in his first 2 years. If they end up missing three guys, they're going to be right back to where they were last year with the Dan Renouffs and Jacob McDonalds and Kyle Burrows, except this year those names are Curtis McDermott and, well, Jacob McDonald is still there. Keaton Middleton is still there. Dennis Gilbert is still there. Roland McCune, Justin Barron, Jordan Gross. That's those guys.
And I do want to talk about those names and the injury situation a little bit. But first, we got to pour one out for Connor Timmins because he's no longer an Av. And while he'll probably accelerate his NHL career in Arizona, he does have to play for Arizona now. So
he's going to spread his wings.
Go get your Breckenridge Brew, whether you're drinking happily for Timmins or sad that he's gone. Either way, Breck Brew has you covered. Get it on tap down at the DNVR bar, or of course, go to your local liquor store. Keep an eye out for their Good Company hard seltzers as well. If you're crossing the border to Canada, maybe bring AJ some, because it's hard to get up there, apparently. But
we still have a fridge full.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You brought enough to have the border agents look at you sideways. But
they did. They went through my car.
Nice. That's a lot of alcohol, son.
Yeah, they were like, how much? And I was like, look, you guys use made-up measurements here. I couldn't tell you. So just take a look and tell me what's up.
All right. Well, there you go. So If you can still find it, if AJ didn't take it all from this state, go out and get yourself some Breck Brew. They do produce quite a bit.
There's like $100 worth of booze here. Like, come on, it didn't take all of it.
I don't know. For a little while there, the hard seltzers were hard to find.
They were still hard to find. I had to do a little bit of work to get those.
All right, so if you see them, get them, because they go pretty quick. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. They're doing a bet right now. I know they've done the, like, they give you $100 free, but this is the first time I've seen them essentially giving you $200 free. If you create a new account with code DNBR, all you have to do is bet $1 on the upcoming opening weekend of college football. You don't even have to win. You just have to bet a dollar, and they will give you $200 instantly. So you don't have to wait for the result. You just put a dollar down on that, and they give you $200 in free bets to use. So they're literally giving you $200 to play with just because they can. Jump on it. Head over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Take that $200. If you like football, you can bet that $200 on other football games. You can also bet them on hockey, basketball, baseball, every other sport you could ever imagine. McKinnon to win the Hart is plus 600, I think. That's the one I'm pushing right now. If you're looking for a futures bet, AJ disagrees, but that's okay. You can do a whole bunch of other things as well. I know a lot of DNBR crew last year made some good money putting money on Jokic for the MVP. I can speak, I promise. So that could be a good one for the futures as well. You make it work one way or another. Take that $200 from DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, remember, you have to use the DNVR code when you sign up. Let them know we sent you over there. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Getting in to these defensemen. First of all, AJ, where do you stand? Do you expect Eric Johnson to be ready for opening night?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good news for the Avalanche if EJ is good to go. Everyone else is presumed to be healthy as of right now, but you never know. Things can happen in preseason, yada, yada, yada. They're essentially, between EJ and Murray, realistically, you have to plan. You can throw McCarr's name in there, too, if you want. But you have to plan for a good 20-plus games, at least, of being down one, if not two, defensemen for this team.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't assume that these two guys especially, who just have not been very healthy in their careers, are just going to, oh, look, nothing bad happened to them.
Yeah. The odds say otherwise, right? Their healthy seasons are much less common than their unhealthy ones. So
yeah.
You have to plan for it a little bit. You're setting yourself up for disappointment if you assume that these types of players are going to stay healthy the entire year and they're not going to run into any problems or have to use some of their depth options. So instead of doing that, hopefully we can prepare you to what to expect a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm getting beyond those top six. It thins out really quickly.
Yep.
I mean, you get in immediately. You're into Curtis McDermott. Forward defenseman, he's very clearly part of their plans.
Yep. Expectation right now, you expect him to be a healthy scratch part of the season.
I expect him to be I don't expect him to play on the defense on opening night. I don't know about a healthy scratch, because sure.
Could be the 12th forward or something.
Exactly. There's a whole forward thing that has to shake out still.
Which we talked about that yesterday's show. You can go listen to that one if you want more details there. But as far as the defense is concerned, McDermott is probably in the 7th, 8th D conversation.
I would assume he's in the 7th D conversation. If they were that happy with Jacob McDonald, I don't think that they would have prioritized going out and getting a guy like McDermott. I mean, who, when they went and got him, like, Timmons was still on the roster. And so it was like the conversation was a lot more him at forward. And then without Timmons, that puts a bigger spotlight on McDermott back as a defenseman, where we've talked about it. He's been a bad NHL player. He's produced only poor on ice results.
Right.
Very, very poor on ice results.
What I will say, if we're comparing McDermott and McDonald, is I don't know if I would put one ahead of the other necessarily. It just depends on role. It depends on what the Avs want on any given night.
Yeah, and it can depend on which guy gets hurt.
That too, for sure. If you see EJ go down as, you know, a 6'4", 230-pound dude,
you might be a little more inclined to throw
McDermott in as the bigger body, yeah.
Yeah.
So that could make a difference. If you see someone like Sam Girard go down, maybe you look toward McDonald for a little bit more puck movement
there.
Yeah. So it's going to depend on the situation a little bit, who gets what opportunities on the defense. Certainly those 7-8 types. Is that your order? First of all, let's go there. Is McDermott 7, McDonald 8 for you right now? Or is the 8 spot kind of open in training camp?
No, I think McDonald... I think what McDonald did last year was worthy of not necessarily having to fight for it, but at the start of the year, I think it's fair to say that should be his gig.
Someone would have to take that job away from him, kind of.
Yeah, like Jordan Gross would have to have the week of his life or something to outplay what they got from Jacob McDonald last year, which was his on-ice results were... To be frank, they were insane. Mm-hmm. They were completely absurd. I remember multiple analytics guys tweeting out during the year, like, who the hell is this? And why is he showing up at the top of all of my models? What's going on here? His on-ice results were just that crazy. They were downright dominant. Now, when you watched him play, you didn't get a dominant player. You got a very chaotic, unpredictable, unreliable defender that, you know, just kind of depending on how you feel about certain things, you know, he was either your guy or not. And I attached myself to him because it was just chaotic fun. You don't normally see NHL teams go with guys that play, you know, the kind of the unpredictable, I'm going to pinch it every chance. I'm going to shoot every time that the puck touches my stick. You don't see NHL teams stick with defenders like that for like 30 games. It's just not a thing that happens.
If one thing we know about the NHL is coaches tend to hate roller coaster defensemen.
Yeah, but and McDonald, and we saw, like, Jared Bednar lost that trust with McDonald as the year went on, and Nolan Pratt as well, because he just, his ice time just kept getting chopped down.
Yep.
More and more and more as the year went on, and then, you know, by the end, he just wasn't playing very much.
Yeah, that again, part of that was Connor Timmins coming into the lineup and straight up taking a job. But
yeah, like Connor Timmins showed up at the very end of the year, played the absolute best he ever has in the NHL, and it was like, okay, well, this is what we've waited the last 2 years for, so we're rolling with this.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get even deeper into the organization, I did want to look at special teams a little bit with that defensive unit. Power play is pretty straightforward. You're still expecting Makar to be top unit and probably the Toews-Girard pairing to be the second unit. But the penalty kill, they have some choices. You're expecting EJ to play there for sure. You can probably expect Murray to play there as well.
Yeah, I would absolutely expect Ryan Murray to play there, yes.
And then after that, you have some options. You probably put Taves on there. Where do you go after that? Do you give Byram the crack at it? I know he had good numbers in super limited time last year.
I would, because if he's going to be a guy that excels in that role, yes. You want to know that, and then you want to start getting him in that role.
Yeah.
Early in the year, and then let him grow into it more as time goes on. I absolutely want to see Bo Byram on that PK unit, because he frankly shouldn't get PK or power play time.
Right.
Just with the group that they have right now, he shouldn't be getting it off the hop. If they wanted to slot him there instead of Taves, that would be fine. But other than that, they should really be looking at Byram as more of a tertiary power play option for them. And then they should definitely try and see, you know, EJ and Murray should get top billing. But after that, they should see what they have in Bo Byram as a PK guy. He PK'd at WJCs for Canada. He PK'd in the WHL. Like, he has PK'd.
Yep.
It's part of his appeal as a prospect was, oh, hey, this guy can do everything. He can give everything. He can play in all situations. And I think that this is them being as deep as they are at that position gives them the ability to do this.
Yeah, I think they should as well. Your other options in the top six would be Makar and Girard. You're not going to waste minutes of Makar's minutes playing him on the PK. And then Girard, a conversation you can have.
But Girard, to be honest with you, Girard has produced really, really good results as a PK guy.
When he does PK, right?
And it's been limited, but his on-ice results have been fantastic. And it's just, it would be unorthodox for a coach to commit to a small, not physical player on a PK. It's just not something that they do.
Yep. Which brings me to my next point. You would fully expect them to use McDermott on the PK if he's in the lineup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he's not PKing for you, then you have a very legitimate
lineup. Yeah.
A very legitimate, like, what the hell's this guy doing here in the first place? What's he for? Yep. What does he do? What's being accomplished here?
Yep. Just kind of the way that conversation shakes out.
I will say his on-ice result, I mean, this is just a continuation, but his results as a PKer have been horrific.
Yeah, the reality of the McDermott situation is the Avalanche have made an active decision to either have reason to believe those numbers are not accurate for whatever reason, or they just straight up chose to ignore them or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. They waited for the analytics guys to go to lunch
and to make that phone call. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So
they pounced. They were like, all right, the nerds can't tell us not to. Let's do this.
Yeah. So that's that conversation. McDonald, would you play him on the PK if he's in?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to check on that one. Never really know. So.
All right. Let's see. Rudo, do I have COVID?
Do you have COVID? I'm guessing the answer, just like last time, which was, what, 2 days ago, is no.
Oh. Still don't have it.
Shocking.
Tell you.
All right. So, I think the short answer here is you don't want to be on the penalty kill, or even worse, in the penalty box in the bedroom. So, make sure you're keeping it together. Make sure you're manscaping. And don't get any penalties.
Make sure your PP is looking clean, fellas.
Boom. AJ coming in hot. Use code DNVR to get 20% off at manscaped.com. Get the perfect package 4.0. You'll get free shipping as well. Use the lawnmower 4.0 to clean up that PP, as AJ put it, and get all of their other products as well. Not only below the belt, they can take care of you all over the place. Face shavers, breath mints, shave mats, all sorts of awesome stuff that you can get. Check them out today, manscaped.com. And then head on over to Strava Craft Coffee, get your CBD-infused coffee, and get 25% off over there when you use code DNVR25 for your first purchase. You can also get the cold brew down at the DNVR bar. Super awesome for aches, pains, joint pain, stuff like that, and it's still coffee also, so it'll give you your caffeine fix that you need. So
great advertise. It's still coffee also.
Hey, man. Everyone in this country drinks caffeine, it feels like, except for Nathan MacKinnon, maybe. But
that dude wouldn't. Come on.
Had to give the meme in there.
You know he's found a way to get his caffeine.
Sneak it in there. It's like a pure caffeine pill or something that he takes as a supplement.
That's right.
All right. So, while you're doing all of those things, saving a little bit of money using our codes, maybe you're slowly saving up to buy a house. So check out Chevalier Mortgage, as they've been in the business for a long time now. Both Mike and Virginia, great at what they do. Mike, in fact, is a certified financial planner, so he can cover your entire picture. He'll look at everything when finding the right home loan for you, not just a great rate. It's more than just that.
We're about to get into prospects and talking about translatable skills and stuff, but are those not like the most symbiotic skills to have in a person that you're trying to ask for help? Oh, I'm a financial planner and I can help you buy a house.
Yeah, it's you would think more people in the housing market would be financial planners, really, to be honest.
It seems like an amazing thing. Like, oh, I'm looking for somebody to help me buy a house and just be like, oh, I've got this in my back pocket that I'm, by the way, I'm a certified financial planner.
So
Yahtzee.
Yeah, we'll work it out down to the dollar for you, basically. Head to dnvrmortgage.com. You can get a free consultation with them and also get a chance to win some free DNVR merch as well. So check them out today. You can also call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So let's get into the fun conversation here, at least for you and me, AJ. Justin Barron.
What do they do beyond those eight?
Yeah.
Where does it start at 9 when they do have to dig into the depth? Because you remember what, 16 guys played for them on defense last year?
It was an absurdity last year how many.
So if that's going to happen again this year, then what's the pecking order look like? Because it's under NHL deals right now. It's, and this is in no particular order, Jordan Gross, Keaton Middleton, Dennis Gilbert, Rowan McCune, Justin Barron, and
Nate Klerman. Yeah.
Big Klerms.
Which, there's a couple of interesting conversations there. First of all, you have Dennis Gilbert, which did play in the NHL last year for them. But, one, he's an RFA that's about to go through arbitration with the team. Two, after his couple of games, the Avs actively avoided bringing him back to the NHL roster again for the rest of the year, basically.
Yep.
So I don't really have a good read on where he's going to slot in this depth chart.
Yeah. Agreed. I think he's the guy that we would have, a year ago, we would have said, oh, that should be
top of the list, kind of.
Where McDonald is where we would have
had Gilbert, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
And then the year that they each had, it's, you're kind of like, oh, all right, now what? And, you know, Jordan Gross, we don't know. And he's the only guy on the AHL team, on an NHL deal, under 6 foot.
Yep.
Every single other guy, McDonald is 6 foot 200. Every other guy is at least 6 foot one. on their AHL defense.
Yeah.
It's so like they're building two totally different defenses.
The NHL one is all about speed and skill, and the AHL one definitely leans into size quite a bit more.
Starts with size and then goes like, okay, well, let's put some pieces together here.
Yep.
Beyond that. And then I think if we start talking about that ninth guy, I mean, guys with some NHL games, you know, Jordan Gross, Dennis Gilbert, Keaton Middleton, those are the guys.
McEwen has a few.
Yeah, he's got 10 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10.
Gross has 9, I think, so.
Yeah, we're not talking, you know, I think
experience or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Middleton had the 3 that he had with the Avs last year, in which he was awful.
Yep.
If there's any hope that just being in the Avs system magically makes a big defensive defenseman better in the for Curtis McDermott, Keaton Middleton's experience would go directly against that. But you never know. I guess as you tried to start this conversation with, and I immediately directed us elsewhere for some reason, it's really, what's up with that Justin Barron?
Dad, chat, I need you to stop trying to just end it.
Yeah.
Good meme, but YouTube doesn't appreciate that kind of chat.
Yeah, this is how you guys get us in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea that Nathan MacKinnon is picking their lineup is hilarious.
Yeah, this is not a LeBron James situation.
Nathan MacKinnon's rolling up to Loveland and getting Eagle and watching Eagles games, and he's like,
that guy.
Oh, we need a call up. Get that guy. Yeah. Give me Middleton.
That would be pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it would be incredibly entertaining, but you also just can't let your player run your organization like that.
In a sport where, you know, your lineup consists of 20 players that all actually have to play, it's not quite like basketball, where you can pick the 7 dudes that are going to play in any given game.
Yeah.
In any case, though, the Justin Barron conversation. First of all, check out DNVR Sports 2 on YouTube. Just dropped Justin's all points from last year if you want to get a feel for what he looked like in the queue and a little bit of AHL action.
Yeah.
But let me start here because I think it's unrealistic to expect Barron to be really in the competition coming directly out of training camp. But can he play his way into the NHL this year?
He had 7 games in the AHL last year. Like, just because he was a first-round pick, he's in this conversation, right?
Yeah.
If he wasn't a first-round pick, he wouldn't really be here. Probably. in this conversation. Like, we're not talking about Nathan Klerman very much, are we?
Nope, not at all.
We're talking about, like, if he ends up with a game, it's a cool story. A kid from Boulder plays for the Avs.
Yep.
Dope. But it's like, this story that MacKinnon picked Barron is one of those things that drives me crazy. It's like not remotely true, but it's like a fun like side story that somebody told. I don't even remember who was like, oh, MacKinnon called me and was like, I love this guy. But like the idea that like, oh.
That swayed their decision at all. Yeah.
They're sitting at the 25th pick and they're like, MacKinnon likes this kid. Let's take him. Who needs to do a year's worth of work because MacKinnon played some drop-in with a guy for 2 hours? Yeah. Anyway, not the point. Boy, I'm getting bombarded with emails about my test results.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barron,
it's 7 pro games so far, and we'll just see. Start of the year, like you said, training camp, we'll just see how he does in training camp. But when it comes to like the development throughout the year, we've seen them less and less comfortable playing prospects as the year goes on, as the season gets later into it, because then they shift their mindset to we're trying to
win the
division, gear up for the playoffs. Yeah. We're trying to whatever, right? So it's like,
how do you fit a guy on, like that? Yeah.
On paper, does it make sense to think that, oh, hey, by the end of the year, Barron could be a legitimate call-up? Yes. But I think it would take Barron having a great year. Not a decent year. A great year.
Yep.
In the AHL. For that to be that kind of conversation. Otherwise, and like you remember, this is his D+2.
Correct.
There's, you know, and he's played, he had a shortened draft year and a shortened D+1.
Yep.
So there's a lot of development time that Barron has missed out on. Not as much as kids in, say, not as much as like a Bocage or OHL kids. But he's still missed out on some normal development time. Yep. It's going to be really important just to let him do what he does in the AHL. His play can dictate how fast they move him. Instead of it just being like, oh, he's a first round pick. We really like him. We want to see what he does. We're waiting for him to give us an excuse to get him up here and do well. If he has a good 10 game stretch, we're bringing him up. You know, like it's, their NHL team is deep enough right off the hop that they don't need to, like, he's not going to be better than any of their top six that they envision.
And the other side of this with Barron is the Avs, or rather the Eagles, really don't have the problem that they have at forward at all. At forward, you're trying to think, they're trying to figure out how can they fit in all these prospects and give them opportunity. On the defensive side, it's, here you go, Justin Barron. You can play PP. You can play PK. You can play a ton of 5-on-5. You have Nathan Klerman as well, I guess. But Barron is the first round pick that is going to waltz in and be given every opportunity at the AHL level to succeed.
Yeah, your right handers of those guys that we're talking about in the AHL, it's Jordan Gross, Roland McCune, Justin Barron, Nate Klerman. So with those guys, like Jordan Gross has been puck moving, you know, offensive type that they watched at Notre Dame. They're comfortable with that guy. But is he, you know, he probably will run a power play. How do they want to utilize Roland McCune will be interesting. And then Justin Barron, you would want to put him on at least one of your power play units just to get him working on that.
Yep.
And then you definitely want to see him on the PK because that's what you envision him in the NHL.
Yep.
You won't need to run the power play. You would like to have him have those skills, you know, developed when he gets to the league. So just in case, you know, he could be your long-term Devon Taves replacement, you know, several years from now. But before then, you know, he's probably not running a power play for you in the NHL. It's not something that they're likely going to need with Girard and Makar entrenched long term, and then Byram just chilling.
Yep.
But as a future PK guy, he should definitely be getting PK minutes down there.
Yeah, pretty much. Not a whole lot else to say about Klerman, really.
We'll see.
If he plays well in the AHL, great. That means he's taking steps forward. And
yeah, he's 23 already, so
yeah,
he's.
You take that as it comes.
Yeah, but whatever Nate Klerman gives them, like that they got Klerman on an ELC before, and even before his college career finished. I mean, he still had another year.
Yep.
And they liked him enough that they said, "This is our guy. We want to do this." And we haven't really highlighted him, but Klerman was a guy that really, really popped his first ever camp after he got drafted. And then he took the most circuitous route imaginable to pro hockey, where the Avs drafted him.
Academy for an extra year.
They drafted him in 2016, and he made his pro debut 5 years later.
He did an extra year of high school. then took a gap year before college to go play in the USHL.
Yeah, to keep getting traded in the USHL. Yeah,
played for three teams that year, I think.
Yep.
And then finally went to Notre Dame.
Finally goes to Notre Dame.
Yep. So it was definitely roundabout, to say the least. And then we can kind of move into their non-signed prospects as well, because
yeah, their reserve list defenders are actually pretty intriguing. It's a really small list, but all four of those guys are legit interesting in their own right.
Yeah. So you start with Drew Hellison, who's going to be going into his junior year at BEC.
This is the big one for him.
Yep. And like, signs are encouraging, right? Both of his first 2 years, he took very nice steps in his game. Especially this last one where the offense started to show up for him a little bit.
15 points in 22 games for a defensive defenseman makes you go, maybe the Avs were right.
Yeah.
Because coming out of the DP, that was that super loaded program that had 14 kids drafted. And coming out of there, you know, I saw him as a mid-round pick because I didn't think there was any offense there at all.
Yep.
And then he showed up for BC last year. He had a really he had a really good WJCs where he outplayed Justin Barron in the WJCs. Yeah, if you didn't know anything about where those two kids were drafted, you would have thought Hellison was the better prospect.
Yep. Yeah, he was quite good at WJCs. So.
Yep, for the gold-winning American team, mind you.
True. Beat out Canada.
Suckers.
And then after Hellison, you have this year's second, and Sean Behrens adds a bit of a more dynamic element to the pool for the Avs.
Yeah, a bit of a smaller stature-wise guy, but he's got a decent enough build on him that he's already kind of stout. He's already 180 pounds at 5'10".
Yep.
And if he can continue to fill that out into some man strength and get to 190 at 5'10", and especially the way that he plays, because he has a very in-your-face kind of attitude.
Yep.
He does not, like, we're talking about Nick Lieberman will be one of the other guys we get to. We talked about Jordan Gross, 5'10", plays a small game. Sam Girard is not a physical guy. I don't want to say plays a small game, but he's a very small guy.
Certainly Behrens does not play a small game.
Yeah, Sean Behrens is not going to be... The people who are mad are the people who don't know shit about the kid at all.
Yeah,
he's a really aggressive in your face defender, and I think his puck moving ability is actually overrated by people because they see his stature and they just assume that, like, oh, he's small, so he skates well and he moves a puck well. That's how it works.
I mean, he does,
but it's not well, but... he does skate well, but he's not the most natural of puck movers. But he's a much better defender than he gets credit for. So he really brings kind of an interesting dynamic to their prospect pool.
Yep. Definitely a little bit different.
Yeah.
Then you have two kind of ones that are sort of question marks here in Nicky Lieberman and Daniel Zaravlyov. I can say that name, I swear.
Yeah.
Where with Z, it's... Look, he's in Russia. He's taken some nice steps. Will he ever want to come over? Will the Avs ever have room to bring him over straight to the NHL?
Yeah. The thing with Daniil Zaravlyov is that NHL people really like him. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of people that think he could step into the NHL lineup now. Not necessarily on Colorado's defense.
Yeah. But on some of the teams in the league.
Yeah, there are some teams around the league that he could probably slot in for. He had a really good KHL season. He's not very big. He's kind of got a slight build, and he plays. He's not a very physical defender. He's a good puck mover, but he's not an offensive defenseman. He's really a lot more of your jack of all trades kind of defender. where good at a lot of things, great at no one thing.
Yep.
There isn't, you know, his pros and cons lists are both going to be the same things.
Yep.
So it's
super high end there. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's an interesting guy where you wonder, you just wonder if he can think the game and he can handle the speed of the NHL, he could be a legit NHL player. Now, does he want to come over? It used to be Kovalenko was the lock to come over and Zhuravlev was the long shot. Now those two have really kind of switched, with Zhuravlev looking like one more year, and then I think the Avs are going to aggressively pursue him.
Yep. A couple of questions here from the chat. If NHLers go to the Olympics, how many Avs go for various teams, and do you guys worry about injuries?
Worry about injuries. Every time a guy gets on the ice and he's not wearing the Avs uniform, you worry about an injury.
But you're also never going to say no to a guy who wants to go play at the Olympics either.
I always say, look, had the Islanders been any good when it happened, it would have been a much larger story. But John Tavares going to the Olympics and blowing out his knee sunk the Isles.
Yep.
And it really was one of those things that kind of pushed the league into being like,
no more of that. Yeah.
We really want to find excuses to get out of this.
Yeah. And then the other question, Barron and Hellison make it easier. How many Avs could go to the Olympics? We've done a show on that. If you look on the channel,
we'll do another one
when it gets closer. Barron and Hellison make it easier to ship Timmins out. I think we may regret letting him go someday.
They may regret it because I think he's going to blossom, and we're both Connor Timmins fans
for sure. Yeah,
like we are both believers that he's going to be a top four defenseman in the NHL. So I think in terms of do they regret letting him go in that way? Yeah, I think so. They could regret it as soon as this year if injuries don't go their way. But is the presence of Barron and Hellison, to answer the first part of that, does it make it easier to trade a Timmins? Yes, absolutely. If neither of those guys were in the system and on the trajectories that they're on, because they both are coming off of very, very good years, the loss of Connor Timmins would be much bigger in the system.
Yeah. If you didn't have Barron and Hellison and you trade Timmins, you're looking at the next graduating defensive prospect would be Sean Barron's, probably. I guess Zhuravlev, maybe.
Nicky Lieberman?
Yeah. You're a long ways off from anything coming out of that
pool. Yeah, you're maybe hoping that Nate Klerman can be a third pairing guy for you.
Yeah.
That is to say it's a long shot that any of these guys are going to be impact guys beyond Barron and, I guess, Barron's and Hellison, now that Barron's is there. We're going to be pro-Barron's until he struggles.
The Barron's pairing of the future is going to be an adventure, yeah.
Yeah. Good luck, Connor McGahee.
And then, yeah, if we want to just wrap up on Lieberman real quick here.
Yeah, so I've been a Nick Lieberman fan for a long time. I'll never forget the conversations I had about when he got drafted, and it was like, he's a great skater. We hope when he goes to Notre Dame, he learns to play hockey. And that was kind of how the organization felt.
Yep.
And look, he didn't play very much his freshman year. He had a very, very good year in the BCHL until he had that scary neck injury at the very end.
Yep.
That cut his season short. And then he was on a loaded defense where they had like 10 scholarship guys on their defense. And he was kind of odd man out in his freshman year.
Yep.
But he got into the lineup the last 2 years consistently. And you saw the puck moving ability. I mean, 17 points in 29 games last year is a big step forward for him.
Especially this last year. And his junior year, I think Notre Dame kind of finally realized they had to take the reins off him and let him play some offense a little bit. And he started to show what he could do. So
he's going to be a guy to watch. Now, realistically, if Lieberman's trying to find a path to the NHL, he doesn't sign with the Avs next year.
It's funny, but a perfect path for him to follow might be Jordan Gross. Like, if you're trying to project him as a player, Jordan Gross might be it.
Yeah. I mean, they're the same size, both Notre Dame kids. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
If he doesn't want to sign with Colorado, he wants to go sign with Arizona. It's probably a smart move.
Got more opportunity to get in that way.
Yeah, true. Straight up. So, Lieberman's intriguing. We'll see how the year goes for him. I would have an ELC earmarked for him temporarily. But we'll see how the year goes, and then him being a senior, he has a say in this one. And so if he looks at the Avs organization and he's like, okay, you've got three guys in the NHL who are 23 and younger. You've got Justin Barron as a 20-year-old going to be pushing for that thing. He's 19 right now, but in a year from now. You know, 20-year-old Justin Barron pushing for that defense.
Hellison and
there's four of your six guys. I'm not afraid of competition, but I also did just get a degree from Notre Dame. So,
not
you know, I'm not a moron here. you know, I think it would be a tough sell for the Avs to get him on an ELC.
Yep, I agree.
Unless he's just like, hey, I want to play pro hockey. I'm not taking the chance that other teams won't give me this. Yep. Because the downside is you got to wait till August. Teams have to be holding out contracts for you the entire offseason. And if the Avs might be offering an ELC in March.
Now. Yeah.
But if they're not offering, but they may not offer one in August if they have if they go through their entire offseason and they sign all the guys and blah, 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 they may not be comfortable doing it anymore. So it would be ballsy for a kid for a seventh-round pick to turn down an ELC. But it also, looking at the Avs organization, it might be like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Good. You just live with that decision when it gets made, basically. So.
Yep.
That's pretty much sums it up, I think. So be sure to like and subscribe to the video here on YouTube. That helps us out a bunch. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, consuming the show. We appreciate all of y'all a ton. We'll be back tomorrow talking about the goalie depth of the Avs and then probably round up the show, taking a look at all of the prospects in the system, most likely. Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be a short show.
Yeah, tomorrow's will not be a long one, but, you know, people still like their goalie talk, so we'll do our best. Looking forward to it. Hope to see you guys there. Until then, we'll talk to you all next time.